Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is there anybody here that loves, and I'm talking about enjoys, loves, gets a thrill out of a good state fair? I hear the one in Oregon's pretty chill. Thank you, Oregon. Maybe you like to get things spicy in Arizona? Okay. If you want a state fair that's got its own theme song, you might go to Iowa. Yeah, dollars and donuts, you know it. Or maybe you want to enjoy the largest midway in North America down at the Florida State Fair. Any Floridians? Now, I know I'm biased, but I love Kentucky State Fair. My people. Maybe you can't be contained to a single state fair and you just pull them all together like something at the Big E. Any Big E fans? Yeah, absolutely. Now, we may not agree on which state fair is the best and or not, but I think we can agree that state fairs just have a ton of things to love, to enjoy. You know, you got the people that love their show animals. I mean, they're crazy sleeping with those things in there. You got people who love sketchy rides and are ready to risk their life. You're crazier than the animal lovers. Yeah, okay, thrill seekers. You got the people that are just there to clog every artery in their body with the deep fried butter, the deep fried Reese cups, the Oreos. I see a gentleman pumping his fist. He knows what it's all about. Or maybe you're like me and my wife and you enjoy the greatest sport of any state fair, people watching, right? We're talking mullets, cut off blue jeans, or maybe that's just a day in Florida. I don't know, I'm getting confused. But my wife and I, every year when we lived here in Indiana, we would go to the Indiana State Fair and we would have a date night. Yeah, Indiana, represent Hoosiers. We'd have a date night and we kind of had our routine. We'd get there and we'd say hi to some friends and we'd make our way to our favorite cows in the place. And that was the cattleman's tent and the ribeye sandwiches. We'd devour those, get some protein in our system, go see our next favorite cows over at the dairy tent. Get some ice cream, some milkshakes, you know, any good date night's got to have good food. So we would start that. And then we would move to the entertainment portion of the evening where we would go to the midway and start to play some games. Now, one of the games that we loved, we'd save quarters up for it, was a game where we do bowling. It's this little bowling game. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But basically, you try to take that bowling ball and roll it up over a hump, but not so hard that it rolls back over the hump to you. So you got to get it just right to go over the hump and stay in that little valley. And if you do that, you win a prize. So my wife and I were putting in our quarters. We're rolling, and we're right next to each other when the lanes are open enough. And if they're not, then we'll just take turns. You know, I'm nice. Ladies first. You can do it, honey. We're rolling. We're losing. I mean, just losing. Taking the L's, right? Hitting the buzzer. It's coming back to us. But finally, I get one right. I get it just enough to get it up over that little hill. And it goes down, and it comes back, and it just rests in that valley. And the bell rings. You win a prize. So the lady says, here's your prize, you can choose. And she shows us the prizes, and it's the dinkiest little things you've ever seen. We've just spent $8 in quarters to win a 2-cent prize. But we pick one, we say, we'll take this one, and like, you know, what about these other big prizes? She's like, well, if you keep winning, you can trade up. And unfortunately, we just didn't have enough quarters. So we're like, okay, well, like, we'll go on. So we take our Nikki prize, and we're walking around the state fair. And then there's this guy who kind of makes eye contact with me. You know, we got kind of a vibe going. And he's a carny who's working there, trying to get people to play his game, right, so he can make money. And he sees us coming, and he starts jeering me. He says, hey, man, why is a pretty woman like this walking around the state fair without a prize? And I was like, all right, I know something he don't. Like, we already got a prize, and I was showing him my prize. And he scoffs. He's like, that's like the smallest prize you can get at the state fair. My kids could win that. Why don't you step up here and win your wife a real prize? I was like, look, bro, I got two things you'll never have, a hot wife and a career. I didn't really say it. I said it inside because he's big and lifts heavy stuff for a living and had a neck tattoo, and like I just didn't really want to go there. But in my head, I said it. And I wish I could tell you I didn't let that moment get to me, but here I am several years later telling the story, And I did tweet those funny things that night on Twitter because it's a lot safer behind a keyboard. And I'd like to say you didn't get to me, but again, here it is. And I don't know if you're like me, but like that moment hurt. It stung because deep down, I did want to be the kind of guy that would win his wife the big prize and carry it around at the state fair. And that was just a realization that that's not who I was at that moment. And that moment, it stung. It hurt. I don't know about you. I know maybe you're in a low moment like that right now. And if not, maybe you've had one recently, or maybe one is on its way. Maybe somebody said something to you that was a mean comment. Maybe you've tried to achieve a goal and fell short. Maybe it's internal, right? You just don't feel like you're good enough, or you're not worthy, or you're not living up to who you want to be. And if that's you, I got two things you need to know about this low moment. And the first thing is that this low moment does not define you. Now, these low moments, they hurt, but you are more than your failures. These are temporary. It's gonna pass. Just because you lost once, it doesn't make you a loser. You're awesome. You're great. You're worthy. You've got to believe that. This moment doesn't define you. But you know what? These moments can help develop you. If you will lean into them, they can help you to develop a really core skill of humility. They can help us to look outside of ourselves to others to help us get through the moment. They can help us to realize, man, there's a gap between who I am and who I want to be and figure out a way around that. And in these moments, if you find yourself there, you got to think, who can help me out of this? How can I grow from this? Or think back to a time when things were really good to help give you the confidence to get out of that low moment. These moments, they're not meant to crush your spirit. They're meant to develop your humility. Now, come with me. Let's go back to the state fair. This is a couple years later. We've done the deal, right? We've eaten the ribeye sandwiches. We got the milkshakes. We've walked around. We played the bowling game. We won a small prize again. But we keep walking around, my wife and I, and we eventually come to another game. And I was like, let's do it. It says, hey, get one on, win the big prize. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go for it. I'm still kind of wanting to be that guy that wins the big prize. And my wife's like, we're going to throw $50 at a 50-cent prize. Like, do we have to? I'm like, hey, it's date night. Let's keep things fun. Like, it's okay. It's in the budget. Let's just give it a whirl. And so the game we pick is the one you see here. It's this ring toss, right? You're throwing plastic rings onto these glass bottles. And we go up, and I don't know what come over me, because my previous track record at State Fair wasn't very good, but I just kind of started feeling a little full of myself when we got up to that stand. And we give the guy, it's like $5 for a bucket of these rings. So I give him my $5. It's like, we want the small bucket, man. So he upsells me. He's like, you know, like for another $5, you could get a bucket that's twice this size. And I don't know where it come from, but I was like, yeah, but we only need to get one on here, right? Like it's going to be easy. I'm like, we only need one, right? He's like, well, yeah, you only need one. I was like, I think we can do it with this little bucket. I don't know where that came from, but I felt it. And so we start playing, right? And most people are just flinging these things. Right? Bing, ding, ding, ding. They're flying off these glass bottles everywhere. And we're doing that at first. And then I realized he had told us, you just got to stand behind this like cabinet thing that was there. Like that's the only rule, right? And then you throw them. Well, I noticed if I could just like get my toesies up there against that thing and kind of lean in my knees, and I could lean over and get some good balance on this thing. And then my arm, it's not the longest, but I'm like, this cuts a lot of distance. Like, this is a good thing. So like, I'm just starting to do that. And then as I'm throwing, my wife's kind of like, you're getting into this. I'm like, we're getting the big prize, baby. So I'm leaning in. Well, then like, I realize like, I've cut the distance, but if I will like, you know, at this angle, if I will spin these little rings as I send them through the air, they stay flat, right? So they're more likely to land on the bottle. And at this angle, with this much force, with the wind coming out of the east, because I'm a physics PhD, I don't know if you knew that or not, we can get these bad boys on there. So I'm doing that, and I'm just zoned in, right? Tink flies off. Tink flies off. Bam! I got one on. I said, look, we did it. We did it. That's ours. The guy had his back turned. I was like, we did that one right there. It wasn't on there, and now it's on there. I did that. And my wife's like, you did it. You did it. My daughter, she's 18 months, but she, in her head, was like, my dad's the best dad in the world. And the guy sees it. He's like, you did. You won it. Like, you won a prize. You get your choice of any prize. And at this particular stand, there was only one size of prize, and it was the big honking prize. I mean, the big daddy. And your boy was jacked. I did it. I wanted to go find that guy from a couple years back and be like, look here, bro, what's up? I don't know where he was. And when I say it's big, I mean it's big. Like, this is what I ended up carrying around the state fair. Just a sweaty guy carrying a giant purple unicorn. And I'm traipsing through, and then we get to the van. This is my wife's post. This is it in her van. Homeboy's big. And then we got it home. Here it is next to our love seat. My daughter loved that thing. And the night that I won it, I mean, it just was like a great moment. We were walking through the midway. There were other, like, dads just giving me the nod of approval. Like, you did it, man. A couple finger guns were flying my way. Little kids are like, I want my dad to win me a prize like that. Your boy, I think I walked back to the van, but I could have been floating for part of it. I don't know. It felt great. I was on top of the world. And I don't know, but maybe you are in a moment like that, or maybe you've experienced moments like that. Moments where you're just, things are going your way. You just crushed a big goal. Or maybe your crush just said they liked you. Those kind of moments where things are just turning up for you and going really well. And if you find yourself in those kind of moments, or if you're one right now, you need to know two things. The first thing you need to know is that your high moments do not define you. You are more than your successes. These are temporary. One win doesn't make you the GOAT. This is probably going to pass. This moment, this high moment, does not define who you are. But just like the low moments, they can help develop you. If you don't let them get you up on your high horse, these moments, they can show you things you're good at. They can give you clues to the things you like and the things that you enjoy and want to take part in. They can also boost your confidence, which is going to help you as a leader to lead the people around you. They don't define you, but they can develop you. And if you find yourself in one of these moments, a couple things you should do. One, what did it take to get here? Figure that out so you can replicate it again. Two, what's that feel like? Bottle that up, because you're going to need that if a low moment comes. And another thing I'd encourage you to do is look around. Who should you be thinking? Because I can guarantee you, you're probably not there by your own accord. There's probably someone that helped you. These high moments, they're not meant to make us egotistical or prideful. They're meant simply to boost our confidence. Now, we got these high moments, we got these low moments, and they're both really important. But we've got to approach them with the right mindset, because they can be critical to us. There's some things we've got to remember as we get into them. The first thing, don't let your highs go to your head. Don't let it make you prideful. Swell your ego, get you up on your high horse, make you too big for your britches. Don't let it go to your head. Because if you do, it could turn you into this cocky, prideful leader. And maybe as I say those words, you're thinking of someone. And these types of leaders, man, they are no fun to work with. They don't value people. They value winning more than that. They don't listen to other people. And somehow they always find a way to make it about them. Don't do that. Don't let your highs go to your head. But just as importantly, don't let your lows go to your heart. Because the danger here is low self-esteem, no self-esteem, low self-confidence. And man, I've worked with leaders that fall into this world too, and it's no fun. They tend to not make very good decisions or make quick decisions. They become indecisive. They care more about gaining popularity and wondering if people will like them than doing the right thing or the thing that needs to be done. Don't become that kind of leader. Don't let your lows go to your heart. And to help us with this are these moments, right? If we will take the humility that comes with those low moments and partner it with the confidence that comes from those high moments, we can live with what I like to call humble confidence. And at first, you're probably thinking, those things sound like opposites, bro. Like, am I supposed to be humble? Am I supposed to be confident? What do you want from me? And I actually think they work in perfect harmony. They're a great tension to help us as leaders. Because here's how they can help us when we think about both confidence and humility. So up first, let's think about confidence. One thing that it does is it reminds you that you're valuable. You bring value to this world. But the humility side of it reminds us, man, others are valuable. We can look outside of ourselves and see the value that they bring to the world. Our confidence will allow us to know I'm enough just as I am. And you are. But your humility will remind you that there's still room for growth. I can be better. Like growth mindset. And confidence will tell us, hey, we got to take ownership. We are a product of our choices and the decisions we make. But our humility reminds us that in those moments, we still got to give credit because somebody helped us. And to make this tangible for you, I'd love to walk you through how I'm experiencing this right now. So let's talk about confidence and humility, right? I'm valuable. I hope I'm bringing value to this stage. I believe I am. I've worked on this speech for a long time. But I don't think that's any more important than Tamika coming and speaking and the value and the message that she brought and these national officers crushing their retiring addresses as speakers on this stage. They're valuable too. Both are very valuable. We're not in competition. But my confidence, my humility will allow me to keep that right view. I believe I'm enough. I think I'm hopefully doing okay here. But I also need to remember, when I get done with this, I'm going to be able to look back and say, you know what? I kind of messed up this. I should have said this clear. I'm going to find opportunities from this speech that will help me to be better at the next speech that I give. And I definitely want to take ownership here. Like, I've prayed. I've written speech 2 or 3 times. Like, I'm here because of that work that I've done. But man, I'd be crazy to think that there's not some credit to give. I mean, just right now, there's a whole crew of people that are making me sound good, making us look good through the audio and the visual. There's a whole crew of FFA people working backstage to make this whole show turn. My mom and dad have sacrificed so much to help me grow into the person that I am. If it weren't for my ag teachers, I never would have been in FFA. I wouldn't be here today. My wife has listened to this speech I don't know how many times and watched me wrestle with it. I sent it to friends for to get their feedback and help me to make this message better. I had friends look at the PowerPoint. Can you make this visually better for me? I got a whole group of misfits back home praying for me, lifting me up. I've got text messages all day. I'm not here on my own accord. I've got to give credit. This is a high moment for me. Like, I am so honored to be on this stage. I can't even believe right now that it's real. Like, it kind of feels a little bit like a dream. And I want to be confident in that, but I also want to remember to stay humble. This idea of humble confidence just gives us a right view of the world, and it makes us better leaders. It keeps us from becoming egotistical and prevents us from having low self-esteem. So how are you doing on this? You're valuable. You matter. And so do the people around you. You're enough. You're fearfully, wonderfully made, created for a great purpose. But there's room for growth. Take ownership of who you are. But make sure you give credit to the people that are helping you. Yeah. Thank you. You heard about me winning a little tiny prize. You heard me talk about winning a big old prize. Which one do you think is an accurate reflection of me and how good of a dad I am? I hear people saying big one. Somebody's saying both. I'm gonna say neither. Yeah, because let's think about this. Now, the world said big prize, like, you're the man, finger guns, nods of approval. Someone on that Facebook post my wife made said, dad of the year. Because I threw a plastic ring on a glass bottle, that's a pretty low standard for dad of the year. But that's the world we live in, right? How good are you at something? How many followers do you have? That's what brings you value. That's what it tells us. But listen, my worth shouldn't be sewn up into big or little prizes at a state fair. With that little prize, I should remain confident. With that big prize, I should remain humble. Because here's the thing, I can't fully control whether I'm going to win or lose at the state fair. Can't. But you know what I can't control? What kind of dad am I going to be when I get home? Am I going to read bedtime stories, put down my phone, and get in the floor and play with my kids? I can control that. And hey, look, you cannot control whether or not you win at FFA, at sports, at academics. But you can control what kind of FFA member are you going to be? What kind of athlete are you going to be? What kind of person, student are you going to be? And hey, look, there ain't one of us in here that can control whether or not we're going to win or lose at life. It's things are going to happen. But you can control the person that you become through all of that. And I ain't saying don't chase big dreams. Do it. Get the PhD. Start your own business. Go to welding school. Kill the 150-inch deer. Do the big things that you want to do. But don't ever let your identity get caught up in those things or allow them to shortchange who you become. Because the thing you got to know, and if you ain't heard another thing that I've said all day, listen to this right here. This is the one that you got to take away, okay? All right? Who you become is and always will be more important than what you accomplish. Yeah. You're more than your successes. You're more than your failures. You're a person. And the great thing about this, you get to choose who you become. That's up to you. What do you want to be? You get to be it. So who do you want to become? I see too many leaders not giving it any thought. And you don't need to be like them. You need to think about it. Actually, I'd encourage you, there's a QR code here. You can take a picture of it and scan it tonight, or you can scan it right now and screenshot it today with your advisors, your chapter, whether it's at dinner today or supper tonight. Pull up these questions. Go around the horn. Who do you want to be known for? If I ask somebody about you behind closed doors, friends, close family, what would they say about you if I said, hey, tell me about so-and-so? You got to think about that, and you got to know who you want to become. Because as I said, who you become is and always will be more important than what you accomplish. So look, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've taken some L's. Maybe you're taking an L right now. But I want you to know that's going to pass. And things are going to turn up for you. But you need to take that humility that you're learning right now so that it will keep you grounded when things start going your way. Maybe you're stacking up the dubs and all you do is win, 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 no matter what. And I love that for you. I hope that's happening for you. But I want you to know this is going to pass. So you better take that confidence you're getting from that and use it to lift you up when things turn around, because they will, and you start feeling like you're having those low moments. They're preparing you for each other to give you that humble confidence. Stay humble. Stay confident. Spend time thinking about who you want to become, because it's the most important thing about you. And once you have figured that out on your journey to becoming that, stay humble, stay confident, and then go be it.